Welcome back to the Irish NFL podcast with me, Noel Dowling. I'm delighted today to be joined by Bills Beat reporter at Syracuse.com and co-host of the Shell Buffalo Football podcast, Matt Perino. Matt, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Noel. How are you?
Not too bad, thanks. Keeping well. I suppose, like yourself, just getting ready for this draft now that's kind of keeping the wheels moving at the moment.
Really, it's so interesting because there hasn't been a time for the Bills in the draft since maybe Josh Allen, where there was so much hype around what this pick's going to end up being. And it's a little bit different because they're picking in the top 10 ultimately in that draft. And this one, they're going to have to be aggressive. They want to get up in that range. But I think that there's a portion of the fan base that are hoping that Brandon Bean has got some bullets in the gun and he can maybe get up into that range, something that we can definitely talk about.
Absolutely. Well, look, the Bills for me are a fascinating team, as you say, because they're kind of so far back in the draft. But I've seen people predict every single possible scenario of dropping back, going up, staying where they are, and kind of what they're looking for in there. But before we kind of dive into the draft and you know, we kind of look at this offseason, it's been for me anyway, looking at the Bills, it looks like it's been a fairly busy offseason for you guys there. For yourself, who covers this team, and say for Bills Nation as a whole, how has this offseason so far been kind of looked at by people?
Well, I think it's first way that I think it's easy to characterize it as is like an emotional offseason, right? Like you're turning the page for an organization that has had so much success, really, like after years, two decades of just torment with teams that, you know, didn't make the playoffs. You know, a revolving door at quarterback. They've found an answer at the quarterback position. They've had a lot of great players on both sides of the ball, and a lot of those players are now playing in other cities. I mean, Tre'Davious White had his introductory press conference a couple days ago with the Rams, and that's been a staple of this iteration of the Bills. I mean, he goes back to Sean McDermott's first draft after taking over as the head coach. Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer, two guys that have been mainstays on the back end. They're now expected to not be here. Poyer already with the Miami Dolphins. Micah Hyde still kind of contemplating potentially retirement. And then you have the Stephon Diggs trade that just completely threw this offseason on its head. And I think that there's a lot of, you know, unrest within the fan base because there's a portion of them that feel like maybe the Bills missed their opportunity, you know, while they had all of this accumulated talent to really make a run at a Super Bowl. But then I think that there's another part of the fan base that is looking at this as almost like a refreshing reboot in a way to reimagine what potentially this offense and defense could look like. Maybe there's just got to be a time when you've reached the heights that you can reach with a certain group of people and you have to make substantial changes. And obviously the money part of that is a big part of why the Bills are going to look a lot different next year. But it's also about, you know, three playoff losses, to the Chiefs. You know, a heartbreaking home loss to the Cincinnati Bengals. How many times do you keep running it back with the same cast of characters before you start to kind of really reimagine things? And to me, this is an offseason that is a jumping off point for what the next 3 years are going to be. And maybe the Bills will have to take some lumps in 2024, but I think they're positioned better for 2025 and 2026 with the hard decisions that Brandon Bean had to make.
Absolutely. I think in the NFL, every team that's successful kind of finds that there is a specific window for certain players. And if you can't hit what you want within that window, then, you know, cap restrictions and stuff, maybe moves kind of have to be made to kind of jig it about a bit to maybe open another window to try and get through. But you mentioned obviously a couple of players there. And the first one I have to touch on is Stephon Diggs. We kind of look at this move because obviously it's fascinating in that, you know, he's a really good player. He's probably your that lead X receiver for the Bills, you know, that kind of safety blanket for a Josh Allen who can you know, make things happen. You look at the move and it happens. Obviously, there's question marks from previously with Josh Allen and Diggs. Is there something kind of going on there? You look at the fact that obviously the Bills now have a dead cap of $31 million for getting rid of him, whereas they would have only had $28 million for, you know, with him actually staying there. So when you look at it, like, is this something that you saw coming that, you know, not specifically or not maybe for football reasons, you know, that they're willing to take an extra $3 million dead cap money because things just aren't working? Is it something that in Buffalo you guys could kind of see coming, or did this kind of surprise you in terms of the timing and how it all kind of came about?
I think we should have all seen it coming a little bit more than maybe we did. And part of the reason that I don't think a lot of people did is because of everything that you laid out there, right? Like his importance to this offense over the time that he's been here, the dead cap hit that they're taking, but also like as somebody admittedly that doesn't study the real deep dive of the cap and what implications are going to be in 2025 and 2026 at a, like a macro level, I didn't realize how much of a benefit there'd be to making this move now in terms of cap ramifications beyond this year. So sure, you're taking this dead cap hit. He's not going to be on the roster, but now you're opening up almost $30 million in spending next offseason that if you would have waited and you go through the year with Diggs on the roster and you have the same result again, it's going to be more complicated, or it's going to be complicated still, and you're not going to get those same kind of savings. It's almost like you're kind of taking your pill right now and living with the fact that you're not going to have them. And the other piece of this that's really interesting and I don't think has been talked about enough is that Stephon Diggs took a significant step back last year. He started off with 100-yard games in five of his first six. Then he went his last 13, including two playoff games, without a single 100-yard receiving game. And to me, receivers, you have to know when to get out of that business. And I think we could also talk about whether or not that the extension and the timing of the extension when Brandon Bean gave that new deal to Stephon Diggs, he was still under contract for two more seasons. Maybe that was something that, you know, could have been thought through a little bit more. And, you know, but it's hard because when they gave him that extension, they were just coming off of that unbelievable run in the playoffs. Josh Allen was on a heater with nine touchdown passes in two playoff games and that loss to the Chiefs that ended it in dramatic fashion. So I think that they thought what they had in-house was something they wanted to continue to kind of keep intact and then build around. And so they couldn't see the next 2 years and obviously all the struggles that they've gone through. So there's a lot that went into the decision. I think you're better with Stephon Diggs on the roster, but I also think that there's a way, other teams have shown you that there's a way to rebuild on the fly. And I look at the Green Bay Packers as the best example of that. You get rid of Aaron Rodgers, you move on from Devontae Adams, you draft consistently multiple receivers in each of the last three drafts, and now you have a really intriguing wide receiver room with a lot of young talent and a lot of diversity to the skill sets and a young quarterback in Jordan Love, and the sky's the limit. They were third in the NFL with 32 touchdown passes last year. So I think that that's, to me, the way the Bills are have to approach this thing is like reimagining the offense. They still have the quarterback. They spent a first-round draft pick on Dalton Kincaid last year, who was getting Travis Kelce-like comps in the draft last year. Well, if you have a Travis Kelce light even, I'm trying to feature him a little bit more in the offense than they were able to do with Steph, or would be able to do with Stephon Diggs still here.
Absolutely. And if you kind of look at this wide receiver room now, obviously we talked, there's a draft coming up and a lot of people are talking to Bills, maybe potentially going up to getting, you know, what looks like a good receiver class and maybe see if they can get someone there. We've brought in Matt Collins, Curtis Samuel, obviously Khalil Shakir is still there. I mean, do you think still, if the Bills were to find a productive rookie in there who could come in and contribute, that this is still a wide receiving room, you obviously mentioned Kincaid there as well, that can still be productive and can put up the numbers next season, obviously with a quarterback like Josh Allen who can, you know, make a lot of players a lot better?
That's the thing. It all comes down to Allen for me. Like, if the quarterback is operating the way that he's operated the last couple of years, and I know a lot of people ding him on the interceptions, but the guy makes just a tremendous amount of plays, throws that, you know, most guys can't even think about trying to make. And so I think he's going to elevate those people around him. I think they took a huge step on the offensive line last year. They moved off of Mitch Morse, which I think also was another moderate surprise this offseason because they had such continuity. That offensive line last year played every snap of the regular season together. So for them to move on from him, they're moving Connor McGovern over to center. They brought back David Edwards, who played in a Super Bowl with the Rams a couple years ago. He's an Aaron Cromer guy, the offensive line coach for the Bills, who has been outstanding. I mean, he's gotten this offensive line to where now you have something cooking. You have some talent on the line, but you also have a coach who has his guys in there now and what he wants to kind of do to really accentuate the talents of Josh Allen. I think the pocket has been a lot cleaner, allows him to work out of there a little bit more. So I think it's just about adding weapons to your point. And how aggressive do you want to be? Does Brandon Bean think that one of these three receivers are worth giving up a ton of assets? Oh, I mean, don't forget, this is a guy that gave up a first round pick to go get Stephon Diggs. I wouldn't be surprised if he's willing to give up a first round pick next year to move up into a range to maybe get a Rome Odunze or get out of Washington, get a Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU. I mean, to me, Odunze is in that top part, that top tier of the class. Thomas is probably in that second tier, but those, either one of those guys become your wide receiver one. And I think you get really excited about them. I think there's some other options in this draft that you have to be excited about too. But it, either way that they go about it, I think they have to be multiple in their approach. I think they're going to go get two, maybe three wide receivers, bring them to camp and just see, let the best men win and see where it kind of lands here.
Absolutely. And I think I'll jump into draft there now in a minute, but there's something you touched, because you must be reading my my questions here, because I was gonna move on to Mitch Morse next and just see how that move kind of hit people. Was that something was expected? Because I know just previously Ryan Bates had been traded to the Bears, and Ryan Bates is somebody that the Bears really made a play for a couple of years ago, and the Bills matched the tender offer, so it looked like maybe they kind of had seen him in the future. And then when he was traded, you're thinking maybe Mitch Morse was the center. You know, you're not kind of predicting him, or at least someone from the outside like me wasn't predicting him to be moving anywhere. And then he gets traded. I mean, was that a surprise, or how did that kind of come about? Was that something, again, that people kind of said, oh, no, we kind of seen that one coming?
Yeah, I mean, the more I've sat with it, the more it's felt like, you know, Aaron Kromer, this is going to be his third season. Wasn't around when Bates got here, wasn't around when Mitch Morse got here. So, you know, this might be a pivot to something that he sees that he wants to build on his offensive line in a little bit of a different flavor. I mean, I think they went with Osiris Torrance in the draft last year, who is a little bit of a departure from what they've typically done. Not like overly athletic, more of a, you know, strong, like really good blocker, almost like an anchor type player. Where guys like Mitch Morse, guys like Ryan Bates, those are like guys that you can move out in space, run a lot of those pin and pulls that they've kind of made a staple of their offense since Josh Allen really took off. And maybe they want to go in a different direction, and they want a little bit more of a bulkier, bigger offensive line. I mean, Connor McGovern's a big dude. David Edwards is a big dude. With still some, you know, you could tap into some athleticism there as well. But I think that they have 11 draft picks. I think that they're probably going to try to take an offensive lineman or two, let Aaron Kromer kind of, you know, dive into this recruiting class a little bit over the last couple of months and find some guys on much more cost-effective contracts. And that's the thing that they have to do. You know, they were paying Ryan Bates $5 million this year. Like, that's a lot for a backup offensive lineman. Mitch Morse was set to make $10 million. I mean, you have to make these hard decisions and pivot to, like, much more cost-effective options at certain places. And these are two places that I think that they felt like they can save at and bank on the fact that Kromer is going to help them find guys. Osiris Torrance, I mean, you want to talk about what the picture-perfect rookie offensive line season looks like, go back and watch Osiris Torrance through 17 games.
Absolutely. And you kind of mentioned the draft there now, and you talked about the wide receivers that are in it. And as I said earlier, it's fascinating for me now. So I've seen people predict everything for the Bills. I've seen people talk about the Bills going up into the top 10 from where they are. I've seen people say, no, the Bills are a candidate to drop into the second round. For you, what way do you think it's kind of going to go? And do you think wide receiver is really the position they look to fill with that first round pick? And how do you think they'll do it? Do you think they will try to move up, or what do you kind of predict or think might happen?
I'd love to know how much they love Odunze, because to me, that's like the, you know, Malik Nabers is such a great prospect and looks like he could be a smash of a wide receiver in the league. I just don't know if he necessarily fits their vibe. And that may be a little bit judgmental, but I'm just going off of, like, you know, just seeing him talk in interviews and, you know, the experiment that they just got done with Stephon Diggs. Like, I don't know. I think that you can find so much talent in the second and third round at those positions to sacrifice really important draft picks for a team that's now paying their quarterback $50 million a season. I don't know if Brandon Bean's going to be super eager to part with that capital, but it comes down to how much he loves the player. if they don't, like, I really think that the trade back option would be fun, because depending on how many wide receivers, if five wide receivers go before 28 and they stay at 28 and pick, to me, I'm trading back because I'm probably going to have four or five receivers in a very close, you know, ranking and in one singular bucket, that if I get any one of those players on a trade back, and now maybe I'm accumulating a pick or two more in the top 100, that's what I want if I'm Brandon Bean. Like, a wide receiver is great, but I also think that they have some holes to fill on their defensive line, in their secondary. Cornerback isn't a super need right now, but it's going to be next offseason when Rasul Douglas becomes a free agent. Safety, you have Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer gone. They brought in Taylor Rapp. They brought in Mike Edwards. They're banking on that being, you know, the guys that can kind of fill the void. But I also wouldn't be surprised if they went and drafted somebody. So adding as much capital as possible, to me, to be mobile in this draft is a really appealing option. But again, I could say all that, and if a really good deal comes up, Brandon Bean is an aggressive dude. He has traded up for Josh Allen. He's traded up for Kyir Elam. He's traded up for Dalton Kincaid last offseason. Every mock draft that you see, the Bills are trading up, and I think that's because there's a pattern of behavior that Bean has established.
Yeah, I think, as you say, this wide receiver class looks to be fairly fascinating. Now, obviously, we have the big three who people are talking about, and I don't think they're getting past maybe 8 or 9. Then you've another couple who maybe could go, you know, mid-teens. So, yeah, by the time it gets to the Bills, if they don't trade up, you know, you could be 6 or 7 deep in terms of wide receiver. So at that stage, they probably are grouped together, and you probably could drop back a little bit and still maybe get a good one. But looking then at the draft as a whole, you mentioned a couple of other position groups there. You know, after wide receiver, which is the one everyone talks about, what are the next kind of groups you think are really important for the Bills to hit, where they really do need to kind of bulk up there? I know you mentioned obviously a couple there when you were chatting.
Yeah, I think safety is super intriguing with where they're picking, because to me, safety in the second round at 60, because safety has been a devalued position. Like, we don't see a lot of guys going in the first round. You know, even a guy like Kyle Hamilton, I remember, and he was so good for Baltimore last season. I mean, you see the immediate impact that a guy like that can make. But you go back to that draft cycle when he was coming out in 2022, he ended up being the 14th overall pick. So that's like a guy that everybody was saying arguably was the best player in that draft class. Usually when that happens, those guys go top five. Even like a guy like Saquon Barkley years ago, you know, to have him go top five at a position like running back that has obviously been devalued, to me, safety kind of falls in that category. So I think that you're going to get a couple of guys there at 60 who, you know, Tyler Newbin is a very popular name that's kind of been bantied about as somebody that could be in play for the Bills. They're a really nice player that I think fits into maybe what they want to do. With Javon Bullard out of Georgia is another guy that I think could be super intriguing. But to me, at 60, like, you can go safety. I don't know if that's necessarily in the Bills' DNA, only because Sean McDermott has developed defensive backs so much. I mean, they went out and spent a first-round draft pick on Kyir Elam last year, 2 years ago. All these drafts are going together now for me. And then they go out and they get Christian Benford in the sixth round, and he becomes, you know, he looked at times last year like a superstar, and he's keeping, you know, Kyir Elam on the bench. So I think if it's not safety, you know, you kind of look on the defensive line, and maybe you get a really valuable player at defensive tackle there, maybe an edge rusher as well. The Bills brought in Leatu Latu from UCLA on a top 30 visit. And I think the thinking there is, at 28, most people don't think he's going to be there, but there are the neck concerns from early in his career. So if that takes him off a lot of teams' boards, and, you know, other edge rushers go before him, maybe the Bills do the check. Maybe they think that his neck is okay, and they're willing to kind of take a little bit of a risk there and go edge rusher, because that's another position group that Greg Rousseau is probably going to get his fifth-year option. They signed A.J. Epenesa to a very small 2-year deal. Von Miller, are we expecting Von Miller to be a consistent contributor? I mean, he took a pay cut this year and is betting on himself, but if I'm Brandon Bean, I'm not banking on that. And you have to build for when Von Miller's not here anymore, and that could be as early as next season. So a lot of different position groups that they can go to. Defensive line to me is always worth the investment.
Yeah, you mentioned Latu there. I think he's a fascinating player to watch for me as well, just because of that, you know, medical retirement and coming back and the back issue. As you say, you know, team doctors look at things differently. Some teams may not have him at all on the board, and other teams may see that as an opportunity to get a good player and kind of see how he goes. But looking at the Bills roster now, I know, as you say, there's a draft to come. You've a lot of picks. So there'll be a lot of new guys there. And who knows then what free agents they may pick up after that. But just looking at the players that are there now, is there anyone that maybe outside of the Bills bubble people aren't talking about or people aren't noticing that you guys are looking at and saying, you know what, this guy's underrated, or he's set for a breakout year this year that nobody else has really cottoned on to yet and that nobody's really noticed?
Well, I mentioned Benford, and to me, I think even though he did have such a great season, I mean, if you look at some of his PFF marks, it's, you know, unbelievable, especially down the stretch in some big time games in December and January. To me, he's primed for a huge breakout. I think a lot of people have him penciled in as CB2. I'm not sure that the Bills don't look at him as CB1 right now on the roster. And that's massive considering he was a 6th round pick. One thing on him is he struggles to stay healthy. You know, Terrell Bernard had a huge breakout season last year coming in for Tremaine Edmonds. So he's kind of already on the radar. You know, I think maybe Khalil Shakir is a guy that maybe they felt so comfortable to move on from Stephon Diggs because of what they've seen from Shakir. Now, he's played predominantly out of the slot, specifically last season, but he's a guy that when they drafted him out of Boise State, they said this guy can play every one of the receiver positions. He spends his offseason training with Buffalo Bills legend Eric Moulds, so I'm sure he's getting a lot of boundary prep from a guy that did it as good as anybody that's ever worn a Bills uniform. So I think that maybe there's a vision to open up the package for Khalil Shakir a little bit more. He's one of those guys that, you know, quarterbacks love because he's so low maintenance. Like he's, you know, you throw him the ball 20 times, you throw him the ball 5 times, he's going to be the same guy in the locker room, same way he acts about everything. He's super cool, calm, and collected, and it's a massive year. This is year 3. You know, he's building now potentially for his next contract. I felt like in a lot of ways that Gabe Davis's time in Buffalo was done before last season even ended because of how high I was on Khalil Shakir. So I think that there's a chance for him to really have a breakout season this year and be somebody that, you know, we're talking a lot about, and maybe like people that weren't as understanding of the Diggs deal when it happened, maybe understand it a little bit more when they see what this offense looks like with Khalil Shakir in a larger role.
Absolutely. I think with the changes he's made at wide receiver, he is a player to keep an eye on just to see how things develop. Maybe a good fancy option down the road. Matt, I'll let you go. But just before I let you go, sorry, just one more question. When you look at this team now, again, early days and in off-season before things are kind of settled, what do you think now are realistic, you know, expectations for this Bills team for next season?
You know, I'm still very bullish on them because to me it comes down to quarterback play. And, you know, there's 3 quarterbacks in the NFL that have consistently over the last 5 or 6 years been, you know, great in the playoffs, have had great playoff performance. I think about Patrick Mahomes, obviously. I think Joe Burrow fits into that conversation. And then I talk about Josh Allen. And listen, Lamar Jackson's got 2 MVPs in his house. But if you look at the playoff performances, they leave a lot to be desired. And I just go back to 2021 when Josh Allen was on a heater unlike anything I've ever seen for a quarterback. And if you get that version of the player at any point, I just think this is a really hard team to beat. Sean McDermott's going to get this defense right. Like, no matter what kind of turnover that they have, no matter, you know, that's been the consistency of this team since 2017 is they find a way to find players to be contributors on the defense. It comes down to the offense. And I think people are forgetting about the hype that was around Dalton Kincaid's addition last year. And I think, you know, he's going to have a much larger role in this offense this season. I'm interested to see how they use him, what they do with him, and the pieces that they have in the draft. They have Josh Allen. I still think they're one of the 3 or 4 best teams in the NFL because of that. We'll see if that holds up.
No, I completely agree. When you have a quarterback like Josh Allen, I mean, I think anything is possible. Once you hit those playoffs, you know, who knows what can happen on any given Sunday. Well, listen, Matt, really, really appreciate you taking the time to come on with us here. Before I let you go, if you just want to let the guys know where they can find you and if you have anything upcoming that they should keep their eye out, just, you know, what you've got underway.
Yeah, so best place to find all my stuff, at Matt Parrino on Twitter, X, whatever we're calling it these days. And then, yeah, the Shout Podcast, you can find it on all the different platforms. We got a ton of great shows. I just finished one with Dane Brugler, draft guru from The Athletic. He just dropped his 7-round mock draft, talked about that from a Bills perspective. So that was a cool show. We'll have a lot of content here over the next couple of weeks leading up to the draft and then post-draft.
That's excellent. Well, look, best of luck with it and enjoy all that. And thanks to everyone for watching. Please do like and subscribe and do keep an eye on the channel. As you know, similar to Matt there, with the draft upcoming, we're going to have plenty of content going out there. So until the next time, take care.